The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So I'm like, all right, the call. All right, I'm like, because I'm, you know, afraid of my wife. And I just tried to spin it, which I sold half of it.
I'm here to tell you that we are closing this Granton branch.
I don't understand.
The board voted last night to close your branch.
On whose authority?
I sold it with anger.
I want to hear the spin job.
I'm like,
job.
You kidding me? Way
job?
Sucks. You sent me to the wrong place, went downtown, couldn't find it. Oh, and I smashed my windshield.
Are you okay?
Yeah, great. Amazing. Best physical condition of my life.
What did Jan want?
Nothing. Just checking in.
Wait, you tried to bury it? You tried to bury
it?
Well,
what would you do? Yeah, I can't come right. I'm like, if I came right out with it,
yeah,
I wouldn't have been able to talk anymore. So I had to. She knew I was, you know, quite upset.
I can't tell you.
What can't you tell me?
Nothing. Pam, what difference does it make? We'll be gone in a few weeks anyway.
What?
What?
Michael, what's going on?
Listen up, everybody. I have some news. All I can do right now is put on a brave face and go out there and be their leader.
It's over.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Lattis.
Cousin sub of the day is Homer. Giving us his Timu tips. If he gives us any more, we'll continue to update you throughout the course of the show. Of course, he did wear his best Timu outfit. The t-shirt, the shorts, the shoes. This is the most stuff I've ever known Homer to ever buy. And I've known Homer for over a decade at this point. Timu's changed your life. You actually buy things now for yourself.
I'd say shoes, shorts, and shirt combined... $13?
Yeah, I was about to say, it's definitely under 20 bucks. I know
that.
Oh,
without a doubt, yes.
Yeah, without a doubt. So if you have any Timu questions, make sure you text us, 800-990-3776. Meanwhile, we do want to focus on the Packers and the Detroit Lions. Sunday, Lambeau Field, 3:25 kickoff. Our coverage will start at noon from the Tundra Trio here on 94.5 ESPN. React after the game, Homer Tausch, Gary Ellerson, right here on ESPN Milwaukee as well. But if we move past Jordan Love, because it does seem like it's at least trending in a good direction. I don't know if he plays. I don't know if he doesn't play. But they have, for the first time this year, it seems like they're actually beat up. And I know that was, you know, something that Willie and Tausch talked about last week and then asked if Tausch jinxed him because he had noticed how healthy they are. But they do have some injuries of notes coming into this game with Jaire Alexander. Josh Myers did not practice yesterday either. Like, when we start talking about some of these other injuries, Homer, what is the most important one for them to be healthy outside of Jordan Love in order for them to win the game?
I think it was you've talked about it, but the key is the defense. So whatever you're missing defensively is going to be hard because of how good. I mean, Detroit's offense is insane. Mm-hmm. Like Jared Goff is completing 74%. I don't know if this is like college or high school or whatever. Like one game he's 19 of 19. The next game, he's 20 of 22. The degree, you know, are people that open? And they're running the ball so well with two running backs? So, yes, the injuries for the Packers that are of concern is anything that prevents them from having their best players defensively, and they're not going to.
Yeah, I mean, Jaire Alexander being out, and Evan Williams, both of them being out, if they do not play, I think would be huge.
Yes.
Because Evan Williams has forced his way onto the field. Like, he wasn't playing that much. If you think back early in the year, he wasn't playing that much against Philly. He wasn't playing that much against Indy. And by the way that he played when he got his opportunities, he forced his way onto the field. So, and that dropped Javon Bullard down to the slots. And Keyshawn Nixon's been playing on the outside now. But if you have to move Bullard back to safety, I mean, who knows what they do with Nixon? Do they put Stokes and Valentine on the outside? If it just seems like a huge chain reaction if Jaire and Evan Williams are unable to go.
Yeah, with their defense healthy, even with no pass rush, they're good.
Yeah.
So they there's a level of confidence, and with the new coordinator. But I think you watch the players and go, you know, this guy's good. This guy's making plays. And so they'll need everyone, and it would appear they're probably not. So that's that's going to be the biggest concern. How do you stop an offense that just seems to be able to do things at a level that's tough in the NFL? I mean, right now, the Detroit offense is the best in the NFL.
Yeah, they lead the league in points per game.
Right. I mean, you'll always say Kansas City's is with Mahomes,
yeah,
even if you and I are the receivers. But
they're bored during the regular season. Whatever they do during the regular season in Kansas City doesn't really matter.
You're hoping the Bucs are the current Kansas City, although they haven't actually done anything to act like they're Kansas City.
Correct. The one thing I will say that gives me a little bit more hope, Jared Goff stinks outside. Have you seen these splits? So in his career, in a dome, he is a quarterback rating of 100.1. Outside, and again, this isn't as bad. It's been worse over the last couple of seasons. 89.5.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's what it is outside. 89.5. Completion percentage from the dome goes from 68 down to 62. Like he has just been, and this was, I think, a talking point for Detroit heading in, that he's been so good. They've only got three games outside this year. This game, I can't remember what the third one is, but obviously this one, they'll play Chicago, which is outside, and I can't remember what their third, you know, outdoors game is. But if they're inside, they are just a completely different team.
I haven't checked. They haven't had one outside yet
this year. They have not had one outside yet this season.
Yeah, that's a huge thing.
Especially
if the weather's off.
Yeah. Last year, the splits were really bad for Jared Goff when you take a look at dome versus outside. 2 years ago, it's kind of same. 105.9 inside, 90.8 outside.
He's
a different player.
Right. This is a huge game for him to try to show that this year it's different outside for him.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%. Last year, inside, quarterback rating of 108.9, outside, quarterback rating of 82.
Now, I would also, though, I haven't checked it, but you also want to look at the teams you're playing. If the teams that you're playing outside are really good, that can account for it. But the consistency of that over time would tell you it's not about the teams.
Yeah,
it's him.
And plus, it looks like the weather's going to be rather inclement. It's not going to be good weather for him. So that gives me kind of more hope that this team that has been able to create turnovers, and that's been their keystone this year, they're going to have an opportunity to get some turnovers against a team that has not turned the ball over this season much. Yeah.
Well, or that they're just going to score less. I mean, they're averaging, what, 40 a game over the last...
Yeah, I think on the season, it's 33.5 per game.
Right.
It's most in the league.
I mean, I would say it's legitimate, given that number, unless you feel that they can just run the ball and never pass it, that the Packers should be able to hold them under 28.
Yeah,
right around 28.
In order to win, they have to.
But there's a reason to believe that, and that's Goff outside.
Yeah. I do have a question about the defense. You brought that up, and I want to ask you that question coming up next. We're going to dive deeper into this Packers defense, especially now going up against the juggernaut that has been the Detroit Lions. But I do want to tell you, it doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. Mentality, local healthcare facility, specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. You could be dealing with low testosterone, not even realize it, like I was. You're tired, groggy, just don't feel like yourself. Don't have that energy to attack your day like you once did. Those could all be signs of low testosterone. And Mentality can help you. You go to the clinic, you go through the process. If your testosterone levels are low, you can then get a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. This isn't one size fits all. This is a customized plan to make sure that your levels are where they need to be for you. It's worked for me. It can work for you as well. Go to lowtusa.com. Mentality loves treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments. lowtusa.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Any of those things, because it exceeds... It's like... I'm sorry, I'm burping up my apple right there. That's what that was. I wasn't pausing for effect. I literally was burping
my
apple.
Can we just go to break?
No.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, we've talked a lot about the pass rush and the front four and the trade deadline and trying to figure all this out for the Packers. So my question right now for you, Homer, who's in as our cousin sub of the day, is the Packers defense limited in how good they can be?
By?
how bad the front four is.
Like,
there's a ceiling. Like, you can't be a top five defense without being able to generate a pass rush with your front four, right?
Correct.
So there's a limit with, and as exciting as this defense is, because I love everything Hafley's done. Yesterday, Xavier McKinney named the defensive player of the month in the NFC. Like, he's one of the names that's going to be at the top of the list halfway through the season for NFL defensive player of the year for how good he has been. And it's almost even more impressive given that the Packers aren't generating. For example, we broke this down on All 22. You can check it out. Chewy and I break down five plays on the All 22 each and every week on ESPN Milwaukee's YouTube page. On the interception he had against Jacksonville this last week, it's not like the Packers pressured Trevor Lawrence into a bad decision. In fact, Lucas Van Ness was blocked one-on-one by a tight end on the play. Stonewalled by a backup tight end on the play. Like, that's how bad things are for this front four right now, and yet Xavier McKinney's still flying around making plays and getting interceptions without pressure coming from that front four.
Yes, I mean, I think most of the interceptions he's got, they throw the ball, and he's where they don't think he's going to be, or, yes, I give him, like, all. I don't even connect any of them. Maybe I should some. I don't connect any of them to a pass rush.
No, because the pass rush outside of the game against Tennessee, the pass rush has been basically non-existent.
Correct.
I mean, they had the fire blitz and had some success a couple of weeks ago against Houston, but it's not like they're having success with a traditional four-man rush. And I think that's what makes me a little bit nervous about this defense when you play good teams like Detroit. Because the really good defenses can generate that pass rush with four, and they don't leave themselves big gaping holes because they can cover with seven on the back end. Like, even by doing the fire blitz stuff, you're getting guys that aren't going to be 100% in position because they're starting up by the line of scrimmage and then bailing, trying to get, somewhere into the secondary, into the second level at the snap of the ball. So I just worry when you play really good teams with good offensive coordinators like Ben Johnson is for the Detroit Lions, that without being able to generate a legitimate pass rush, that you're only so limited in how good you can be.
Probably, but you can still be pretty good. I mean, you create turnovers, you get interceptions. They've shown an ability to do that. When that changes, when you give me four other things they're suffering at because of no pass rush, right? Aside from, all right, you have no pass rush. All right, what is that creating in a negative way in terms of the defense playing? They're not giving up many points. They're creating turnovers. They're doing all the things you want to do. Now, if you're saying, can that continue? Probably not, but...
Well, because here's my concern. Because ultimately, we're at a point, and it's amazing that we're at this point already. It's, okay, what can you do to win a championship with this Packers team, right? That's the point we're at. And if we're talking about winning a championship, can that defense, without a pass rush, survive against the best of the best three straight weeks in the NFC to reach a Super Bowl? And that's where I get worried. So then when you play a good team like Detroit, one of those teams you would presumably have to go through when we get to January, like, could they get a little bit exposed against these good teams? Yes, against the Jacksonvilles and against Houston, who lost again last night. And you're able to have some success against those mid-level and lower-tier teams, but when you start playing those top-of-the-line, those top-tier teams that you're going to have to go through, that's when I get worried about not having a pass rush.
That sounds like an appeal to acquire a player.
Oh, yeah. I'd take anybody at this point. Because it's been... I mean, when Lucas Van Ness is getting stonewalled by a tight end multiple times in a game...
Right, I checked, he's not the only player on the defensive line.
No. The biggest issue to me is Rashawn Gary. I want to know what happened to Rashawn Gary.
The key is if Goody thinks the way you think. Because I don't expect that they're going to do anything.
I'm not expecting anything either. Because the thing is, really good pass rushers. Yes, I know Washington traded away two at the trade deadline last year in kind of a fire sale. Those things are rare. Guys that are typically that good, like Montez Sweat, who's now down in Chicago, those guys being available is incredibly rare. Because if you have a really good pass rusher, no matter how good or bad you are, that ends up being a cornerstone of your rebuild. Like Max Crosby out in Vegas saying, oh, I don't want to be a part of a rebuild. Guess what, pal?
You're on one.
You're going through it, man. Yes. Like you're a part of what they want to build around, because the pass rusher to me is what the defense builds around. Like you build around your quarterback offensively. If you've got a really good pass rusher, that's what you build around defensively. And as much as I would love to have Myles Garrett somehow miraculously become available, and I would give up the world for Myles Garrett, he's not going to become available because Cleveland, no matter how bad they are, is going to hit. No, you're the cornerstone of our defense. We don't know what's going on with our quarterback, with Deshaun Watson. We're going to have to pay him for a long time. You're locked up. We're building that defense, and you're going to have to be really good for us here in Cleveland. So I don't expect anybody who's really good to become available.
Can I ask you guys a question about Goody and the trade deadline?
Yeah.
Will you be okay if you hear that the Packers were in on potential players? Like, we always hear that with the Packers in the offseason, right? We always hear they were
no,
in on
I'll
this.
Be mad. It should be against the law to say that.
Why?
Because being in on something is just irrelevant.
I
doesn't mean anything. Well, what is the value of that?
Makes the fan base... The thought is it makes the fan base feel better because at least they're trying.
It makes me feel worse.
I think it was a tactic that was used by Goody early because he wanted to try to show that he was different than Ted Thompson. Like, oh, I'm at least having these conversations. Ted could have been having those conversations. He just didn't let anybody know about it and was right. really good at keeping secrets. Like when they signed Julius Peppers 3 days and it didn't come out until 3 days after he signed the contract and was in Green Bay because Ted was so good at keeping the secrets and keeping everybody from not talking. No, at this point, it doesn't make me feel any different if they're in on someone. Like if someone's actually good is out there and moves, like then I'm disappointed that the Packers right. couldn't get that deal
well,
done.
Everybody would have to say that given what they did to get Xavier McKinney, you now have to accept the possibility that maybe they would do something because that's not the thing they ever did. And he did it. So now that he's done that, it's not like, well, he came close to getting Xavier. No, they went out and paid big money. So I would now say, while they haven't done it in the past, the new Goody, the Goody we've seen, might be willing to ante up for somebody now. There's no question he believes in this team. There's no question he believes this team is capable at some point of winning a Super Bowl. The question is, does he think that he can do that with the players that he have as they get better? Or is he willing to make an even big move like he did with McKinney? McKinney changes everything. Every time they say they're in on something, it means something now because they did something. When you're in on everything and you never did anything, what does it matter? So you assess Goody as he is now. What he did with McKinney means that I will have to accept, not it's not a problem, that he might do something big in the trading deadline.
Yeah, but again,
I doubt it, but he's already shown after never doing it, then we did it with McKinney. If he felt the same, he clearly felt there was a problem there and paid big to solve it, right? Yeah. If he believes there's a big problem in the pass rush.
Well, the big problem, I think, with the pass rush in terms of the market as well is the only one who actually seems available is Za'Darius Smith.
Yes. And I would emphasize this, you needed the Giants to be stupid, or we think, to make him available. There aren't teams being that stupid.
Correct. Unless the Giants want to be stupid again, because there's, now I'm blanking on the name. He's like a third down pass rusher. He's only like 240 pounds.
Right. Now you have to give something up. Yeah. This is free agency.
Yeah. But I just think that that's the one glaring weakness of this team. Like that's the wart that could ultimately hold them back. Because teams that have won Super Bowls, this is, I think, my next kind of project I might do, try to figure it out today. Because teams that have won the Super Bowl in recent history, other than the Denver Broncos back in 2015, but teams in recent history have had quarterbacks that have played at an elite level. Was Nick Foles elite? No. But, I mean, you look at the numbers he performed in the Super Bowl, I mean, he outdueled Tom Brady. Guy played unbelievably well for the Philadelphia Eagles. Same thing with Joe Flacco when he won his with the Baltimore Ravens. Like you need elite level quarterback play. Whether your quarterback is actually that good or just gets hot in the postseason is irrelevant. You need to have a quarterback playing at an incredibly high level to win the Super Bowl. I wonder if the defensive version of that is you need to have someone who has 10 plus sacks throughout the course of the season in order to win a Super Bowl. I'd be curious to see how many teams, because right now, Devontae Wyatt leads the team with 3 sacks. He missed 3 games. Like, nobody, we're halfway through the season. Nobody's on pace to have double-digit sacks. And I wonder if that's, like, the key defensively that you need to have somebody that is that good who can be generating pressure in order to win a Super Bowl. Like, Chris Jones has been so good for the Kansas City Chiefs and a big reason why they were able to win. Like, as much as we want to talk about Tom Brady and the receivers that he had in Tampa Bay, that defense, and as they showed in the NFC Championship game in Green Bay in 2020, was also pretty damn good. So I wonder if that is, like, the one thing that could potentially hold this team back, especially if they end up being a wild card team that has to go on the road for three straight weeks.
Yeah, or other things. They just might not be good enough yet.
That's certainly possible.
I mean, it could be other areas, but I'm pretty comfortable. I'm pretty comfortable. Keep this tape that when the Packers lose, that Gabe will be with. Tried to help him. Because it's a pretty good likelihood that in the game they lose, because it's going to happen in the game they win, they don't get a whole lot of pass rush. So you're pretty much, you got it
feel
wired.
Good about that.
You're going to win.
Yeah, feel pretty good about that. We do have some questions here quickly from you, from Homer. Ryan from Iguanago, how long from order to delivery of the items from Temu? I assume because Homer bought some things that the shipping is reasonable.
It is. I buy so many, I don't know when I ordered them and when they come. So I'm not too worried, but that issue, it may vary. Nothing's like Amazon. I think sometimes Amazon sends you even before you order because they know you're probably going to order it. Wait a minute. It's on my doorstep. I haven't ordered it yet. Unless, you know, like they talk about the phones. So, yes, compare it to Amazon. But here's the key. You're paying nothing. And it all comes. Some come in there. I mean, I got so much stuff, I don't even know what doesn't come and when it comes.
Do you have to put anything together? Like, are the laces already on the shoes?
Yeah, all that stuff.
All right. I mean, I'd pay less if it meant I have to just lace the shoes up myself, but I'd pay less for it. I'm with you on that.
The issues that people bring this up is those that have never done it. So the issues, the shipping, and if you pay $15 and you get shipping free, and then, but I mean, like sometimes the shipping's $2. Well, I only paid $4 for the damn thing. I mean, now it's $6. I just pretty much added up. We were trying to buy our kid a bed that he would do, and so I paid like maybe $60 for that. I don't think I've ever paid more than $20 for anything.
Outside of the $60.
Out of that. It might even be closer to 12 or 13. There's kind of my limit on that.
That sounds about right. Yeah, so, that sounds about right. That tracks.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm willing to hear and interested in hearing from people that have done it.
Okay.
But the all the stuff they say is just, other than, you know, what the labor is, I don't know. But I mean, the thing about, well, but how about this?
Is it reliable? Is it?
Yes. Everything's reliable. Don't use a credit card, people say. And then, you know, everything is done kind of through your email. And yes, they send you a gazillion. Every day I get something that for a deal, spin a wheel, do this. And, you know, it's.
Do you do it?
Less and less.
Okay.
Because it's too complicated. You get this on credit and stuff, but I don't need to do that. It's good enough as it is.
It's cheap enough already.
I'm just picturing Homer, like, you know, you're looking at your email in the morning, you're drinking your coffee or water, your Diet Coke, and you're just going through it and you're reading and you're like, huh, spin a wheel, I get, and you're just, just spinning it. I just feel like I want to picture you spinning it in the morning.
I do. I have spent, but I want stuff free. You know, you set a standard after a while. It's just like years ago when they had all these long-distance services.
Oh, sure.
Okay. And they would give you stuff and got to the point where I said, no, I just want cash. I'm not doing anything. Just give me cash. You got no cash? I'll stay with mine. Because you could change every day. God knows how many thousands of dollars I got on that. So, yeah, I mean, I've created standards with Temu.
That's good. You're the first person.
I don't know. I can't. But well, they're making so much money. What, people are embarrassed to say they shop on Temu? Okay. So like voting for Trump? You have to go through that? No.
Let's go ahead and put it on the poll. Have you bought anything off of Temu?
Great question. Yes.
Have you bought anything off of Temu?
I have no idea. What I think the percentage is going to be 20?
25,
okay.
Maybe?
12.
1 in 4?
12%.
I mean, honestly, Homer, you're the first person that I know, but maybe I'm just not asking enough people if they're buying things off of Temu. I'm not sure.
Well, but
we'll find out together.
If they, I mean, I'm correct because I didn't actually see them, but people said they advertised on the Super Bowl. So we're talking millions of dollars.
You heard Craig talk about like with Google, they were a top advertiser for Google.
It made me feel good when he said his daughter likes to buy stuff. I buy like a 14-year-old. But I want to say this. I got the shoes for my grandson.
Yeah.
He loves them. He's wearing them now.
There we go. How much were the shoes?
13.
There we go.
Oh, and nice athletic shoes.
Yeah.
So and they have 50 different athletic shoes they could buy.
So are they like what are they like actually branded? Are they Temu shoes?
No, they're branded of a brand you've never heard of.
Okay.
Got to see what mine are here. TF, I don't know what they are.
Okay.
They're just Chinese
shoes,
right?
Yeah.
And I said, and it's understandable if people want to put an insole in. I have to help your arch or whatever.
Yeah, I mean that's. I mean, you might just do that with any shoe you buy.
These have worn a long time. It's not like they're cheap and
you got to buy another pair in 2 months.
I got another backup pair.
Okay, just
but
in case.
I haven't had to use it. Yes,
how
just,
is Chewy
yes.
not used this yet?
I don't know.
He's the only other person on Earth that I would feel like would want to use this, and there's no way his wife Angie would stop him or would know how to.
Pretty easy. She's just ground him and put him on timeout the way she's, you know, revoked his Amazon privileges in the past.
Homer is just explaining what Chewy does with Amazon for cheaper.
Yeah, but no, he's paying way more on Amazon.
So I'm saying you're doing it cheaper.
I mean, way cheaper.
He buys like 7 pairs of shoes for, you know, mostly because he doesn't realize he's doing it, but he'd be saving a lot of money if he actually
He buys 7 pairs of shoes. I can get him 7 pairs of shoes. Athletic shoes, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right about $100. I think I can get 7 for $100.
Now you're talking Chewy's language. I think we've got to get Chewy.
But I mean, 7 shit pairs of shoes, he's paying $300-$400.
Yeah.
He needs to try Temu. And if they suck, you know what you do? Throw them in the trash. You're still $300 ahead. And I guarantee you he'll find a pair he likes.
There we go. Well, we'll have to try to hook Chewy on Monday when he is back. Ditch the random channel surfing with your remote. Grab your phone, open the ESPN app with their new Where to Watch feature because it's a game changer. So many games are going on. The ESPN app is your answer for what channel, what app, or what stream to get to. Want to know where the Bucks are tipping off on a Thursday night? Boom. Just go to the ESPN app. Need the channel for Sunday's Green and Gold game? Yeah, you already have the answer. It's the ESPN app's Where to Watch tab. Say goodbye to frustration and hello to watching sports. Download the ESPN app from your app store and find the Where to Watch TV icon.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Care, you can just save yourself so much time by going, okay, we like this guy. Let's take a look at all the different things he did at the combine. I just hit my phone, and now my hand is just tingling.
What is with you two today? Jesus. Do you know how to function?
I just like...
On 94.5 ESPN.
Show each and every week. It's presented by Gruber Law Offices. The Nassus Adetokunbo hangs out with special guests for fun and even surprising conversations. Maybe it's his live show with Giannis, a chat with Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love, getting the inside scoop on fighting with Logan Paul, or any one of TA's unique guests. Find The Nassus Show on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Plus, you can subscribe to The Nassus Show on YouTube to see exclusive video content from The Nassus. The Nassus Show, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call. That's all. I feel this week on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, we've done a lot of how do you feel, and we've talked about feelings of is Jordan Love going to play? Is he not going to play? Homer is our cousin sub of the day with Jen and Chewy out today. What is your gut telling you in terms of the Packers' chances this Sunday? Does it change depending upon who's at quarterback?
I'm just so happy about the Packers. They're a player that I'm probably not as worried as most people about this game. This game doesn't mean that much. If everybody was healthy, you'd be saying Packers going to win, and then it's game on against Detroit for the rest of the year. But with the injuries, not so. But even if that's the case, the issue that you brought up is going to exist the whole season, and then we're going to watch the young players on defense and see how many guys can just make plays. You know, you're not going to get the pass rush you want, but maybe they can create it with other people and then they can steal. But the Packers are good. The young players, the quarterback's good. The backup's been amazing. So, I said last week if they lost 30-0, if they lose this game 30-0, I'm just not that worried because it's a 17-game season and then it's the playoffs and The likelihood is they're going to have to do it on the road.
Yes.
Not because they aren't good enough, but because in this situation, even if Jordan Love plays, he's hurt. Right? No one argues. Nobody's going to believe he's 100%.
He's going to be limited in some form or fashion.
Right. So, but they don't have to do anything to prove to me that they're a player, because so many of these young players, we watch them. They're good.
Yeah.
And you assume they're going to get better if people don't get hurt. But so I'm not, I was so worried that Jordan Love was going to be hurt and he's out for the year. Then the season's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's still a season.
So I understand. So, okay. If that's your view.
Yeah.
There's no chance he plays on Sunday.
I don't know the mentality of if he's that way or LaFleur is like, hey, we got to give it a shot. The benefit is so huge because Detroit's who we're going to be dealing with, that we'll give it a shot. And I'm not worried about that, because you worry about that if you think the head coach is a knucklehead or you think the players are knucklehead and they'll do something that long-term would harm the team. I don't see either of them that way. They're dealing with what we're talking about right now in the terms of the benefit for the playoffs in this game is huge. And the benefit of that you've explained. Now, in the Packers' history, they've screwed up when they've had the home field, but that's huge. That's enough for you to two of us, like we're the coach and the quarterback, to say, now what do we do? This is too huge to pass up, which means they could take a bit of a risk. And I wouldn't be bothered by that, because I don't think either of them are reckless. And I don't think we have no evidence to say that this is just reckless, stupid.
Would you have a different feeling about this if Malik Willis didn't do what he did on Sunday and lead them to that game-winning field goal? Let's say they lose in overtime in Jacksonville.
No.
So the being 5-4 going into the bye wouldn't potentially...
No.
Because it feels like to me, by winning that game, you do have a little bit more of a buffer, right? Because now if you lose this game to Detroit, it's two games.
Right.
You're only two games back with eight to play.
You just made the explanation in that meeting that says, yes, it's important, but not that important. We've given ourselves a little bit of cushion.
Mm-hmm.
We can still win the division.
Yeah, even
if you lose this game, and someone will say, "Come on, we could win this game." This kid has made every play we've asked for him, and so those are the two reasons that. I mean, I think people are listening to what's going on. We've heard all four. Now, who wins the? Who wins? And my guess is that's probably based on what the injury and what the situation is really there. But that's the only thing I worry about. I worry about his ability to stay healthy this season. More than anything else, that's why we can have all this discussion. I said, that's the only thing I care about. You can talk about all this stuff, and these are all nice different ranges. The only concern we have to have that's huge is him staying healthy. And right now, that's not looking good. And if I'm going to make an error, I'm going to make an error on resting him more, because I think this team's good enough to make the playoffs. That's my biggest concern.
Well, because if the injury isn't serious enough where you're thinking about playing him this week, I mean, coming back after the bye should not be an issue.
Right.
So that's, and the Packers training staff, they've always been so cautious, but, and I know Jason's pointed this out a number of different times, whether it was Brett and Aaron played through a lot. He probably doesn't get as much credit for it because he did have the two seasons where he had an injury you couldn't play through in the broken collarbone when he did that twice. But Aaron also played through a lot.
Yes.
And so I wonder if Jordan's going to try to push to play through this. I don't know. With the knee, it just didn't seem like he could play. This, he might be able to, but you could do more damage to it. It's just so different when it's a soft tissue injury, especially when it's going to be colder and rainy. If he plays, I tell you that I'm just going to be nervous the entire time.
Yes. And they're going to be nervous. They know.
They know what you know.
Well, no, I don't think there's anything. The only possibility is that we don't know exactly. But there's nothing that we've talked about that they don't know. And I tell people, those are the decisions that they make. What's the only thing that would drive them crazy is they play him and he gets hurt worse. But then you can't convince them that was why he got hurt worse. Do you know what I mean? There's no, everybody can make a pass. Like, What's the worst thing? Not the best thing that can happen. What's the worst thing that can happen for Jordan Love? And I'm not willing to take that risk. And as you said, they're in that position. But if they play him, I'm not going to be going crazy. I don't think that it's stupid to play him, even though I wouldn't do it. So, I get it.
Because Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur have earned that benefit of the doubt from you.
Right, to know that they're not idiots, to know that they're not going to do something stupid. I mean, I've said for a long time, I think LaFleur is soft. I think he's smart, but I don't think he's prone to, you know, I got to pull a Mike Ditka and show everybody I can do it.
Well, because we're tough. It would be,
I'm Jordan Love. I have to show everybody. I'm like, well, I'm Jordan Love. I have to show everybody I'm as tough as Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. I can't believe he's that stupid,
but
or anybody's that stupid.
I think there is an element of, and we talked about this game with Chewy earlier this week, in 1995, there was a game where Brett was on crutches on Friday.
Right.
And somehow played against the Bears with an incredibly bad ankle. He was listed as doubtful going into the game. Played, he threw 5 touchdown passes and en route to his first MVP. Like, when you play injured like that, there's no doubt some sort of galvanizing effect it has on the team. Hey, look at our leader. He's out there gutting it
out. Right, but they knew, and there was a history of Favre of, like, you know, coming back from injuries and stuff. That was Brett Favre.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was the way Brett Favre was. Okay, Brett Favre was crazy 24/7. To say that he was crazy about coming back, that didn't surprise anybody. I mean, his teammates, the dude's nuts. but he's a great nuts, and fine, go for it. I don't think that Jordan Love is that way.
Yeah.
Well, and because, that's not a negative.
Well, and this injury is just different. This isn't a pain threshold thing. Right? When you're talking about soft tissue injuries, whether it's hamstrings, groins, quads, whatever it is, one of those soft tissue injuries, like, it's not a pain tolerance thing. It's a, okay, can you make this worse? And then you're not going to be able to play because it's that bad.
Right. And I would emphasize, people need to know, check the numbers. Brett Favre was not human. Brett Favre played in like 8 million games in a row. The standard for any player is not Brett Favre, because when he decided to play hurt, he not only played, but it's not like he got hurt and then missed the next game or missed something after that. He just still kept playing all those games. And we haven't seen enough of Jordan Love to know, not even that he's injury prone, but that what his body is like over the course of the season.
We've got some interesting questions on the poll. We're going to check in on those poll questions coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And you can tune in to Behind the Bucks in the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted
team. Oh, sorry.
Trusted insurance broker and HR benefits consultant.
What to buy under a buck.
Behind the Bucks dive deep into Bucks and Six, a culture unknowingly created by former Bucks star Brandon Jennings. Take a look inside the Brandon Jennings story, the origin of Bucks and Six, how it became the rallying cry, and what it truly means to Jennings and Bucks fans alike. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, and wherever you get your podcasts. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher.
Find out what is Homer's Timu text next.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Come on, guys. Let's think about this. Could you do 50 straight days of burgers?
That was very condescending. I just
that's not. That's
let's put our heads together.
Again, I have children. I know condescending when I hear it. I can be.
Come on.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Fun stuff on the polls today. A lot of them inspired by our cousin sub of the day, Homer. Starting with, is at ESPN Homer a dude? It's pretty close, but 52.4% of people, Homer, saying no, you are not a dude.
I think that's a win for Homer. Is that a win or no?
Well, he was getting this going to come back 100%, and he would have
said, do one next time I'm on if people think I'm a raccoon. I mean, if 52% say...
How much trash do you eat?
This is...
factor.
This says nothing about me. It's what people think. And that's fine. Yes, we're in the business of people... Enough people think I'm a dude, so I have to consider it as possible.
What do you want the Packers to do with Jordan Love? Start him, sit him, rest him is 53.2%.
Yeah, that's what it should be. I think that's an appropriate... It's about 50-50.
Are pockets the key to life? 51.2% saying yes. So you win that one, Homer. But the most important one, have you ever bought anything off of Temu?
Yeah, what is it?
7% say yes. You got some work to do.
I don't need any work to do. Next time I'm on, whenever it is, it'll be higher. Oh, by the way, yes, I told you. 20 AAA batteries for like $2. And then we found pens. 25 pens for $1.74.
This is Homer's Temu Life. Catch him, the Homer Hour, coming up later today. Will the Intouch coming up next.